Welcome to A Day of Prayer. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me.
Together, let's engage in relationship with Christ through prayer, faith, and His Word.
Good morning. You're listening to A Day of Prayer's Morning Bible Study. My name is Promise, and we are so glad she could join us. Before we get into the Word, let's open up in prayer. Lord, I thank you for providing for our every needs, Lord. And Lord, we humble our souls, Lord, and give you the opportunity to work inside of our lives, Lord. Lord, we also provide for you, Lord, and also ask, Lord, that you be our God, Lord, and actually teach us and guide us in the way we should go, Lord. In the name of Jesus, amen.
In Jesus' almighty name, amen.
And amen. Well, good morning and welcome, everyone. So glad to have you with us as we dive into the Word, continuing our study in the book of James. And this morning, we are, yes, in chapter 1, but moving forward, covering verses 9 through 11. So with that, can I get a volunteer to read that section of Scripture, please?
I will.
All right, Layla.
Let the lowly brother glory in his exaltation, but the rich in his humiliation, because as a flower of the field he will pass away. For no sooner has the sun risen with a burning heat than it withers the grass, its flower falls, and its beautiful appearance perishes. So the rich man also will fade away in his pursuits.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Amen. So the floor is open to give each of you the opportunity to share what Holy Spirit is speaking and ministering to you, and ask any questions that you have. So who'd like to begin?
I would.
All right, Layla.
So the summation of what the Lord was showing me for these verses of Scripture was not looking about dress, although that could be the first, you know, inkling, if you will. When you hear the word rich, you're thinking, okay, they're wearing nice robes with decked out gold and everything else, as I think of sometimes. But what the Lord was really saying here was going back to what we finished reading in the first 8 verses of James, the one who trusts in his riches, that man is like the flour that gets cooked by the sun, burnt crisp. So if you go back and read the Gospels, paying special attention to where the Lord is telling his disciples and those and the multitudes following him to store up heavenly treasure, where the thief doesn't break in and rob you, the moths don't break in and eat your clothes, and the rust doesn't come because you left the chest wet and, you know, ruins all the doubloons and other stuff that you had in there. But instead...
Doubloons, really?
Yes.
A little bit of, yeah, okay.
But instead, storing up treasure for yourself that lasts, that none of those things can touch and destroy. So what the Lord was showing me here for this particular section of Scripture wasn't, again, about the dress. It was who what you're placing your faith in. You think your money's going to save you. Good luck with that. Luck doesn't exist, so it's not going to do you any good. Or you think your position in anything, a leadership position, is going to save you. It won't. Only the blood of Jesus and the word of your testimony, your faith in God will preserve you. And even then, it's not you preserving yourself. It's the Lord preserving you. You're just agreeing and committing to stay with him. So just as quick as you get those riches and you place your trust in those, just as quick it'll disappear. Also in the Gospels, you see the rich man in his barns, and he said, soul, you've got many goods stored up for you for many years. I've done well, and here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to tear down my small barns, and I'm going to build it bigger. And then you see the Lord's response, and he said, don't you know that your soul is required of you this night? And Jesus goes on to ask, for what will a man give in exchange for his soul? Though he gain the whole world and not keep the commandments of the Lord, he has lost everything that's mattered. So for us, as we're looking at wisdom and tying it back to what you're saying, Mom and Dad, about being led by the Lord, understanding that he's looking at the whole picture. And there's not one point or in any area that we can make the substitution. There is no carnal idea in creation, technology, whatever it is, that can beat what the Lord says. Because His words never fail. They don't return in void or empty. So as we're going in our way, be sure to pursue the Lord's word, because that brings life and life in abundance. Mommy?
Amen. You know, it just kind of seems a little bit random, a little out of place. You know, we're talking about wisdom and all that, and then he changes to talking about those who are lowly and then those who are rich. And, you know, it does seem like, what are we talking about here? It seems a little bit out of place, but it's not. Remember how we talked about the, when we looked at Proverbs chapter 3, wisdom possessed everything that was needed. However, sometimes we tend to get our eyes on the substance which wisdom does produce, and we forget to look at wisdom, which really we know that is the Lord. We forget to look at him and to worship the giver of those gifts, and we start to worship the gift and get that gift in our eyesight, and that's what we pursue. So it's certainly not out of place here, the way the Holy Spirit is ministering through James to write this. And it's just another call to continue to be led by God. Don't let something else take the place of God in your eyesight, in your perspective, whether it be your own opinions, whether it be the pursuit of vanity or the appearance of natural wealth, but pursue Christ, who is your all in all. And just admonishing them. You know, it's interesting that this was an issue even back then as it is today. And the instruction is the same. Keep your eyes on the Lord and do not place your hope in something, as you said, Layla, and as the scripture says, that it's going to be here today and gone tomorrow, right? But always to keep that proper placement in our heart and our mind. And there's nothing wrong with having wealth. There's nothing pleasant about not having your needs met, right? The Lord doesn't rejoice, oh, you're the poorest one here. Yay, you're more special. No, he doesn't have a separate standard. It's a matter of what is your prize? What's your jewel? What is your heart focused on? 1 Timothy 6:10 says, "For the love of money is a root of all kinds of evil, for which some have strayed from the faith in their greediness and pierced themselves through with many sorrows." So that's what he's talking about. God is not offended by money. It's neither here nor there to him, right? And if we think back to the Garden of Eden, the Lord is the one who put all those precious stones, all the natural resources, all of those things that later became the subject of great contentions. It was put there as an aside, if you will. It wasn't the main focus. The main focus of the garden was his man, and the man who would do the things that God would ask him to do, and his woman. That was what God's prize was in that garden. And our prize is always to remain the Lord, not the stuff that's placed around us. We need the resources to do X, Y, and Z. However, we need God. He's our all in all.
Amen. Yes, Mommy.
And we want his way, his wisdom.
Well, I would also like to talk about what, of course, you and Layla were talking about, but from a slightly different perspective.
Okay.
I would like to go back up to verse 7. For let not that man suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. He is a double-minded man, unstable in all of his ways. Then we shall take a trip to Proverbs. Proverbs 28. Where is it? Eight. One who increases his possessions by usury and extortion gathers it for him who have pity on the poor. Okay, now that we have read those two scriptures, for what James is talking about here, as you said, Mommy, he's not talking about it's bad to have wealth or to actually be wealthy. It's also understand. James is also saying, do not pursue those things. Allow God to give it to you. And oftentimes we mistake it as God doesn't want us to have wealth to, in order to teach us a lesson or so that we don't end up falling away. But that's not the reason why. Because Mommy, as you said, sometimes we do need wealth in order to fulfill God's commandments. And so, as a result, we should... Sorry, I forgot to mention verse 7.
of
James.
Okay.
Sorry.
James chapter 1. Okay.
And how when we allow God to give us the wealth and when we follow his plan, going back to the example of the mind and the fool's gold, when God has already given us something special, when we're too busy trying to look for ways, when we're too busy trying to look for how our mind imagined it, we cannot actually receive what God has given us.
Mm-hmm.
And going, if we see, reading throughout the Bible and history, we can see that for certain people, once they died, whatever they had built up disappeared. As soon as their death, it was gone.
Other people carried it off. They were separated from that wealth. It could not transition with them, right? Someone else was enjoying that inheritance, whether it was by natural legal means of being passed on or it was theft. Stolen. Do you have something else you wanted to say, sweetheart?
Yes, Mommy.
Okay.
And how it's especially important when we allow God to build it for us and actually guide us and lead us and show us the way we should go, God is then able to actually make it good in such a manner that whatever we have put on the, whatever God through us has done inside of the earth is going to remain and actually accomplish, it's going to live past us, if that makes sense. Going back to the example of that you brought up, Mommy, about how once those people died, their physical things no longer were there. How, as in, they had no more possession of those physical things.
Mm-hmm.
They had no use of it.
Mm-hmm.
And so, also, it either perishes with them. And how, when we allow God to actually use us and when we allow God to guide us inside the right way, God is able to bless those on the earth.
Mm-hmm. When I look at the book of James, we talked about the practicality of the book of James. Here are the steps to walk out your faith and how to understand it. It's very akin to the book of Proverbs, right? We made a correlation between those two books earlier. And isn't it interesting that wisdom brought with it riches and honor, rubies and et cetera, graces and ornaments and decorations for life, which is often what the humanity, I'll say fleshly humanity, rich and poor alike seek after. Just because someone's in poverty does not mean that they don't want those things. It just means they don't have access to it at the time. So all of this is about the heart of the human. And even if, like, if we examine this as a comparison to Proverbs, you could see where wisdom was the course, but then after Solomon, who was arrayed with all these things and became rich and all that stuff, he forsook the way of the Father, right? So that's also another application of why this is here, as he's examining the Proverbs and the Word of God that was written beforehand, and the Lord is expounding on his word to him, but also to go, hey, Solomon was arrayed, but he left this earth not in good standing with the Lord. So what did it all matter? Right? And Solomon started off desiring the wisdom that his father told him about and taught him about, right?
Yes.
But after wisdom added these graces and these ornaments, he went after pagan women and decided to forsake his following of the Lord because he had riches, he had all this stuff, la, la, la. And it drove him away from his creator, the source of, not because the wealth was bad, because God wouldn't have given it to him if it was a sin or a crime, because there's no sin or crime in Jesus, which he continues to talk about and expound upon in the book of James, and the first chapter of James, we'll get to that. But Solomon decided to depart in pursuance of other things, which, you know, was to his detriment, rather than being satisfied with the continuation of the plan that God had for his life. So all correlations there. My love, did you have something you wanted to say?
I did. Actually, you brought this up towards the beginning there, honey, about it almost appears like this portion of scripture is kind of out of the way, right? Mm-hmm. Just kind of
strange.
How does this fit? We're talking, sidebar. We went from talking about wisdom to now we're talking about riches and money and, right. And,
mm-hmm.
And yes, he is talking about those things. But there's a deeper portion to what he's talking about, right? And that is, first, let's understand our place, right? Whether you're rich or whether you're poor, right? It's about, as you were just saying, honey, and has been said, it's about our standing with the Lord. Where do we stand with the Lord, right? David says, man's but a vapor, yet the Lord is mindful of us, of him, right?
Yes.
1 Peter 1:24 says, all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man is as a flower of the grass. The grass withers, and the flower falls away or fades away. But the word of the Lord endures forever. So, and even Jesus, talking about Solomon, right? He was arrayed more beautiful, right? Actually, no, excuse me. I had that reversed. The lilies of the field were arrayed in more beauty and glory than even Solomon. But Solomon did ask for wisdom, which was what we were just covering in an earlier episode, right?
Yes.
So what is the Lord getting at through James here? Discernment. The ability to discern or praise all things. And he starts with, as you were talking, the practicality, right? This is a natural thing that many struggle with, right? And it comes up later, actually, at the beginning of chapter 2, where he's talking about not showing partiality, right? Yes. So clearly this is an issue because it comes up multiple times. Being able to distinguish not between rich and poor, not, and holding the word of a rich man greater than that of a poor man, but being able to discern or in all things what the word of the Lord is. That is wisdom, right?
Yes.
Solomon was known for his wisdom. And what is one of the very first things that we hear about with Solomon?
How he judged between the two women that had the baby.
Thank you. How he judged about the two women with the child. And so that's discernment, right?
Which yes.
He received from the Lord because, yes, he loved the Lord. He was willing and obedient to him. But Solomon also writes the book of Ecclesiastes, right?
Mm-hmm.
And concerning rich and poor, it's a very interesting thing that is brought up, where he says in chapter 9, I'll begin in verse 14. It says, there was a little city with few men in it, and a great king came against it, besieged it, and built great snares or towers around it. Now there was found in it a poor wise man, and he by his wisdom delivered the city. Yet no one remembered this same poor man. Then I said, wisdom is better than strength. Nevertheless, the poor man's wisdom is despised, and his words are not heard. Words of the wise, spoken quietly, should be heard rather than the shout of a ruler of fools. Wisdom is better than weapons of war, but one sinner destroys much good. So do we see how this connects here? He's talking about even these individuals that seemingly are rich, right? That have all this wealth and that their words are valued. What is coming from them? Is it the word of the Lord? Or is it, are they, right, being able to discern? All right, and the Lord says this throughout the entirety of Scripture. Judge between the holy and the profane. Regardless of where it comes from, right? Being able to discern, to examine it. And the Lord is the one that reveals those things. But discernment is absolutely necessary.
Yes, Dad.
Mm-hmm.
Being able to discern. And it only comes from the Lord because the Lord is the one that judges the thoughts and intents of the heart. He knows whatever that word or deed that is said or done, where it comes from. And if it's from him or it's from the adversary.
Yes,
so we're going to have to cut this short because we're coming up on time. But this, you know, few verses here begins this whole section where James, the brother of the natural brother of Jesus, begins discussing as a great many things, but being able to discern the time, the signs of the times, what is happening, and various situations and circumstances, to include trials and all this other stuff, right? And where they come from, and what's happening and why. And it begins with, as you said, honey, an area where many have not discerned correctly between rich and poor. Someone that has money and someone that does not. Vice, what's the Lord say about it? So we're going to pause there for today. And we'll resume this on the next episode. But can I get a volunteer to close this out in prayer, please?
I will.
All right, promise?
Lord, I acknowledge your position of authority over our lives, Lord. And Lord, we submit to your heavenly authority, Lord. And we allow you to guide us and lead us in the way we should go, Lord. Lord, I also thank you for blessing us abundantly, Lord, and giving us any knowledge, Lord, that you do have, and giving us all wisdom, Lord, and showing us how we should apply it, Lord. In the name of Jesus, amen.
In Jesus' mighty name, amen.
Amen. We love you, God bless you, and have a wonderful day.
Want to know more about A Day of Prayer?
Sign up for our newsletter, where you'll get the latest updates on the ministry, inspiring messages, and coupon codes for the merch shop. Visit our website, adayofprayer.org.
Click on Connect in the menu bar and complete the form.
Be sure to check the box that says Subscribe.
Thank you for listening to A Day of Prayer. We trust the Lord that you are strengthened and encouraged in your relationship with Christ. Visit us on our website, adayofprayer.org, where you can check out our blog, find additional study resources, or shop the official A Day of Prayer store.
Remember, Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me." So until next time, take care and God bless you.